Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good, thanks.
It's good to be back here with you again on Sunday evening.
Always good to be here on Sunday evening, and it's my weekends are always awesome, I tell everybody at work. And then when I tell them what I do, they look at me like, that sounds really boring. I go, no, you don't get it. It's really awesome.
It's really awesome.
Yeah. And we've been having some, you know, beautiful weather. And
yeah.
It's been good.
For this time of year.
For time of year. We're coming up on the election, which, well, I don't know if we should do an election show or not. It's coming close, though.
And, now or never.
Yeah. So anyway.
We can kind of fit in some principles.
Oh, yeah. In fact, we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight because over the last however many weeks, 8, 10, 12, we've been talking about discipleship. We don't really ever have a plan on this show, and we rehearse usually for about 38 seconds when Steven says, so what are we going to talk about today? I say, I don't know. But anyway, we've been talking about discipleship, and things go in a way that we don't always expect, but that's good.
That's right.
Because we're going to finish about discipleship tonight. And one thing we should have learned from all my sarcastic comments is that you can't do evangelism by having committee meetings and, you know, making a plan of where you're going to go and who you're going to see and who you're going to talk to.
You can't?
No.
Wow.
It's a matter of keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus and being docile to the power of the Holy Spirit. And we just have to be available. We just have to say, Hineni, here I am.
Exactly.
I'm available. What would you like me to do? And doors will open up in front of you.
Yeah. Well, you know, as you're saying this introduction to what we're going to talk about, which can go on for a little while.
Might we usually, be three
our introductions
shows.
Could be quite long sometimes. you know, in Isaiah, God says that, you know, just as my thoughts are above your thoughts, so are my ways above your ways.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of times, I think, where we really try to impress God with our thoughts and go, man, this is going to really...
Oh, yeah.
He's going to really be surprised about this. But he already knows it, even before we speak it, so we can't, like, surprise him and go, were you surprised by that? No, I already knew that.
Oh, yeah. We think we impressed him, actually.
Yeah.
Like, didn't I just do such an awesome thing? What do you think?
That's true. But it's not. I mean, obviously, you know, Jesus says in one paragraph somewhere, I can't think of where it's at right now, but... You know, after you've done everything, all you know, he talks about the servant coming in from
mm-hmm,
the field
yes.
and sitting down, and you know, that servant's supposed to wait on the master.
Mm-hmm.
And he says,
it's in Luke's gospel somewhere.
Yeah, we're in Luke. We've been in Luke.
We've
for a
been
while.
In Luke.
Yeah,
good stuff about discipleship.
Yeah. So he says, well, you know, you're just unprofitable servants. You're only doing what you're commanded to do,
mm-hmm.
and that's really the call of every disciple. We can't boast about what we're doing because it's all for God's glory.
Mm-hmm.
His mercy and the gift of salvation is a testament to his generous mercy mm-hmm. towards us.
Amen.
So God gets all the glory.
We have nothing to boast about.
No, we really don't.
Yeah.
So.
And so this is, you know, this is what's at the core, what should be at the core of serious discipleship. The books, you know, Steve mentioned we've been in doing Luke for a long time. Actually, we did a lot from Luke. And I would recommend you go back to the website, giftofgraceministries.org. You can listen to those shows. And they're also out on podcasts if you have a podcast app on your phone or your iPad.
I got a podcast machine.
Oh, that's awesome.
No, I don't.
No. So, yeah, they're podcasts, you know, you can listen to them in your car and, you know, for... All four of you that are listening, it might be easier for you to listen in the car while you're driving. But
carpooling with Gift of Grace.
But the last show kind of finished with, you know, we have to keep our eyes fixed on him because we used the example that Jesus uses in Luke chapter 9 of the plow. If you're plowing and you start looking back, your plow goes out of line and you create and you make this crooked, dopey-looking furrow mm-hmm. instead of a nice straight furrow that you can plant in. Because
yep.
you have to keep your eyes fixed on him rather than looking back to the world and looking back to what you were before or what you were mm-hmm. doing before. And so after all this talk about discipleship, we have to come down to, so what's the bottom line of this? Like, what does this all mean? What does discipleship, what's it based on? What's real evangelization? You know, is evangelism telling your neighbor they should go to church Saturday morning or Sunday morning? Is evangelism going out and giving money to a guy who's on the street? Is it giving your, you know, neighbor a ride to the garage to pick up his car? I mean, all those things are important, but what is real evangelization? And the bottom line is that the message is the cross. And we did a series, I don't know, a couple of years ago on the cross.
Like 9 shows.
It was 9 shows. And if you go back, if you go into the website under Gift of Grace Radio, you'll find it somewhere. But there were 9 shows.
Yeah.
I can't remember if it was 2 years ago or 3 years ago. It's been a while now. It's all about how the cross is the center of everything. And that salvation through what Jesus did on the cross is not something that you can figure out on your own, something you can deduce with some mathematical equation. Right. I mean, it's not something that you just say, well, give me a minute and let me see if I can figure this out.
Yeah.
It's arrived at by faith. You know, remember Paul says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Jesus says to Peter, you know, flesh and blood didn't tell you that. My father told you that. You know, it's an act of faith. It's a supernatural gift. It isn't by, even by your own power that you can figure these things out. And even those disciples who had spent 3 years walking with him and listening to him, they didn't really get the depth of what was going on until the Holy Spirit fell on them at Pentecost.
Right.
And Jesus talked about the paraclete coming, and he said he's going to convict the world of sin. He's going to remind you of all the things I said. He's going to point to me. He's going to talk about me, not about himself. And so all these things Jesus foretold about the Spirit, when the Spirit actually came, not only was that all fulfilled, but it really came into their mind, everything that he had done. And then they realized that all these scriptures they heard about growing up as children and adults going to the synagogue on Saturday morning, and all these things they had heard from him, all came together till they realized that this was the plan of salvation, and that this was the good news, and this was the original, you know, some people call it the primitive church, some people call it the, you know, infant church, whatever it is, these men and women who were in that upper room eventually impacted people all through the known world of the time.
Well, they not only did that, but they've impacted us as well. They've impacted every generation of
yeah.
believers
yeah.
from their time
yeah.
to the current day.
Yeah.
So the impact that they have is not just a small portion of people.
Yeah, yeah.
When you really think about it, so you know as you're talking about, you know, the center of this that it's the cross, you know, I hearken back to when Jesus said, you know, when the Son of Man is lifted up, I will draw all men to
mm-hmm.
myself.
Mm-hmm.
That means men and women,
mm-hmm.
Because each one of us comes before the cross in our human frailty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're either going to pass through the doors of God's mercy, or we're going to pass through the doors of God's justice.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is either going to say to us, well done, good and faithful servant, or depart from me, I never knew you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always... You know, there's always scoffers. There's always people that don't believe certain things, not because it's not true,
mm-hmm.
but simply they choose not to believe it. you know, the Holy Spirit, as you're talking about how the apostles impacted the course of human history and the message of salvation that they were entrusted to carry on, the Holy Spirit is the catalyst for all that.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit came upon Jesus in the Jordan. He didn't start his public ministry until after he was anointed with the Holy Spirit. He goes and ascends to the Father so that the Holy Spirit can come and remind us of all mm-hmm. that he taught mm-hmm. and lead us in all truth.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit has been with the body of believers, the church, from that very moment on.
Mm-hmm.
Some people tend to diminish what the role of the Holy Spirit is in the church, or what the role of the Holy Spirit is in God's plan of salvation. But whatever their opinion is, it pales in comparison to what God's purpose is.
Yes. And this is the thing I was going to get to next. This is very good. Said the message is the cross. Now, in our time, now I've been around a while. Steve's, younger than I am.
I'm still a young pup.
Yeah.
Not really.
When I went to my first charismatic conference, Paul was the keynote speaker.
Paul Wilbur?
No, St. Paul.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, just kidding. That's a little exaggeration.
You're holding up pretty well.
Yeah. No, I didn't mean to make light of that, but I've been around for a while, and I've seen things change so much since I was growing up, but you have to ask yourself, what's happened to the gospel in our time? People really don't know what the gospel is. It's been diluted. It's been changed. It's been hijacked. I mean, if you ask people on the street, you ask people in any setting, even, unfortunately, in some churches, and I do this on a daily basis, multiple times per day, what is the gospel? What is the gospel? Mm-hmm. And everybody says, you be nice to everyone and you don't hurt anybody and you make sure that you go to church on Sunday. And, let me think.
Technically not it.
You do a good job at work. That's pretty much it. Well, this is evidence that the foundation, we talk a lot about the rock, capital R, the rock being the foundation, that's been lost. And part of the reason is that this whole sense of sin and judgment has been lost.
Mm-hmm.
The God I believe in would never do that. And I say, well, I got news for you. The God that's the true God actually does do that.
Yeah.
You have a choice. Mm-hmm. You can follow, not follow. And you can have a choice, obey, not obey. And you can have a choice of he's in charge of your life or you're in charge of your life.
Right.
He's not going to force that on you. But there are very real consequences when you make God in your own image.
Yeah.
He made us in his image, but most people in our time have made God in their image, because we want a God we feel comfortable with.
Yep.
We want a God that says, no matter what you do, it's going to be okay. And St. John in his first epistle says God is love. And that's true.
Yep.
That's an overwhelming thing when you think about it. And it's described so, powerfully. But if you read, you don't have to read much of the scripture to understand that God also has judgment, wrath.
There's justice.
Justice. And that things have to be answered for when the law is violated. And we don't think that anymore.
I mean, if you look at our culture is a prime example of lawlessness.
Yeah.
Because we don't want God in it.
That's right.
We want to be able to do whatever we want, however we want, mm-hmm. whenever we want to do it. Don't even tell me that I'm doing something wrong,
right?
Because you're going to hurt my feelings and my frail ego. But beyond that, it is, without any consequences of our actions, society falls apart.
That's right.
And as creatures, we can't sustain life in and of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know, we didn't create the air that we breathe. We didn't create the dirt on the ground. You know, we didn't create the plants that we are fed with. We didn't create any of that stuff.
Yeah.
And to think that it just kind of somewhat just happened to, you know, evolve into, wow, this is a pretty good deal. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got vegetables we can eat. We can eat meat if we want to. We can eat fish.
Yeah.
To think that all that was just random.
Yeah.
Is, I think, the epitome of degrading what God has so divinely inspired and created.
Yeah. Somebody once described it as, if you put all the parts of a fine Swiss watch on the floor, they all suddenly come together and make a Swiss watch. There's really not a watchmaker. And when you think about it, it sounds so ridiculous.
Is that how that's done? Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, this is where we are. You know, Steve brings up the point, you know, there's moral relativism. I don't know how many times people say, well, what's right for you is not right for me.
Oh, yeah.
But we're both right. Well, you know, I don't know a lot about logic, but, you know, the laws of logic, two things can't be right in the same setting if they're opposed to each other.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, you can't have A and B both be right in the same setting. And so people have adjusted the gospel to social justice. Now, social justice is a very important part of Christianity.
But it doesn't stand on its own.
Social justice is now moved way out of proportion to the true gospel. It's out of proportion. It's 95%. What do you have to do to go to heaven? Well, you have to be nice to people. You have to be good. You have to not kill anybody. You have to help people out. And this is out of proportion. It's even become, you know, kind of what makes you feel comfortable. You know, I go to this church because the pastor tells me nice things. He makes me feel good when I leave. Well, you know, Jesus said that when the Comforter comes, the Comforter, the Paraclete, one of the things he's going to do is going to convict the world of sin. You know, there's not conviction of sin anymore. Everybody feels good about their sin. Now, we should feel good about forgiveness of sin, and we should feel good about grace, and we should feel good about mercy. But we should not feel good about, I can do whatever I want because the God I believe in is okay with that because he loves everyone. And besides, I do a lot of stuff for people. Mm-hmm. I've done all those things you talked about.
Yeah.
I help people out all the time. I even give to the United Way. I even, you know, buy Girl Scout cookies when they come to the door. So I'm a pretty nice person.
Yeah.
My mean neighbor never gives anybody anything. So I know this is the thing. So
not even to the Girl Scouts?
Not even to the Girl Scouts.
Jeez, what a meanie.
So we've created a gospel where people hear what they want to hear, and it's kind of fuzzy and nice, and it's kind of, you know, vague as to what's going to happen to you. But as long as you're okay, you're going to be, quote, saved, whatever that means.
Yeah.
And we're all going to see each other in heaven because we're all nice.
Moralistic, therapeutic deism, as we talked
already.
About.
Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
And to the land, ye wisdom, honor, and the power of men. The Spirit and the right say, come to the every tribe and every tongue, lift up your voice and
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. So, you know, these things are about men, people, not really about God. Because we are doing things to make ourselves feel better, but we think that he's going to be impressed.
Yeah.
And he's going to really like it if I drive my neighbor to the gas station to pick up his car. Well, you should do that. And he is going to like that. But, you know, the question I always ask is, can't an atheist be very giving and caring and help his fellow man? And, of course, the answer is yes. You can have an atheist give thousands of dollars to the hunger center and help his fellow man. But the question is he going to be saved?
Exactly.
But these things, you know, Paul talks a lot about this in 1 Corinthians about the power of the cross, that he's not going to take power. He's not going to use eloquent words in preaching because it robs the cross of its power. Because even these things that I mentioned rob the cross of its power. So that when you say, I'm going to be saved because here's what I do. Here's the things I've done. Here's my resume. And compared to the mean guy next door, I'm really a pretty good person. And God's going to look at me at the end and say, man, this guy is so awesome that I've never seen such a thing. And this is what's in people's minds. And it takes attention away from the cross, and it weakens the message. It adds a human outlook to everything. And this is why you mentioned last week, I think it was last week, about entering through the narrow gate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's not many people that are going to find the narrow gate. I think we did a few shows about this sometime or other. I'm sure you can find them on the website. But most people now think that everybody's on the broad road to salvation, and almost everybody's finding it. And, you know, there's a few people on the narrow road to destruction, but, you know, there's a few mass murderers and some, you know, total degenerates that are on it. But everybody else is in good shape. But, you know, this is another way that the gospel's been changed. It's been hijacked. It's been diluted down to, well, I'm a pretty nice person, so I'm definitely on the broad road to salvation. And even in churches, you hear this. Well, who are we to say? We can't really say that. It's going to make people feel bad. Who are we to? And it goes on and on and on. And people who, you know, say, oh, yeah, you know, I'm a believer. When I was 15, I went down the front and I said the prayer and I signed the card. And some people prayed over me. And since then, I've just been kind of hanging out. You know, people like that. That kind of situation, in my opinion, also robs the cross of its power.
It does.
When there's not a single sign of evidence that this person's life has been changed, what he did was say a prayer and sign a card.
Right.
And, you know, that, I'm talking generally, of course, and I'm not, you know, putting horrible judgment down on somebody who's said the prayer and signed the card. But the question is, how has your life changed?
Right.
You know, we're saved unto good works. Has there been any kind of evidence that you've been changed?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's several scripture passages that always come to mind when I think about this, and that is, the first one is the parable of the sower.
Mm-hmm.
That there's really four conditions of the human heart that when the word of God falls upon it, it can either be, the word can be squelched really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It can grow for a time, but then get choked off.
Mm-hmm.
It can be stolen away very easily.
Yeah.
By the evil one and the cares of the world. And it can also fall on good soil that will bear fruit for the kingdom, mm-hmm. 30, 60, and 100-fold yield.
Mm-hmm.
But in addition to that, there is the cleansing of the 10 lepers. There's the man at the pool of Bethesda.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the man at the pool of Bethesda, pick up your mat and go. You know, Jesus goes to him. He says, Lord, nobody's there to really throw me into the water when it's stirred so I can get healed. And Jesus, you know, because Jesus asks him, what do you want me to do for you?
Mm-hmm.
He says, pick up your mat and go. And there's a call and a response. Jesus calls him to do something. And when he does it, he's healed.
Yeah.
The cleansing of the 10 lepers is another great example of Jesus addressing the Jewish community at that time, because the person that came back and gave glory to God was a Samaritan, a foreigner.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't one of God's chosen people at mm-hmm. that time.
Right.
So this one foreigner comes back and gives glory to God because he realizes he's healed. But in all of it, we're called to respond to God's grace. And how do we do that? You know, do we go about doing our own thing, making up our own gospel and our own belief system, or do we allow the Holy Spirit to mold us, prune us, and fashion us into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ mm-hmm. so that we can be his ambassador, his disciple, and go forth and bear fruit for his kingdom?
Yeah, excellent. Excellent point. And that fits into what I was about to say about that passage that we talked about, that the gates, you know, he says strive to enter through the narrow gate.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't say just get yourself on the people mover and it's going to take you in.
Yeah.
You have to strive.
You're at the airport.
That's right. You have to strive to enter the narrow gate. So, you know, do we really want him as Lord over our life?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we actually would like to run our own life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Most people would say, hey, you know what, I'd rather run my own life.
Yeah,
I want to decide where I'm going to go, what time I'm going to get there, who I'm going to talk to, where I'm going to be located at 2 p.m. tomorrow. What, you know, I want to control all that.
Yeah.
But do we really want him to control all that? You know, maybe not. Do we really want him to be Lord over our life? I don't know. It's easy to say, oh, yes, I do.
It's easy to say, oh, yeah, Jesus is Lord. But to really understand what you're saying means that he's Lord over every aspect, everything of your life, and that
yeah.
you give him permission to be Lord over everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we don't like surrendering that much
yes.
to anybody.
I heard a preacher doing an awesome teaching once about somebody comes over to your house, like, you know, you come to my home group, let's mm-hmm. say, and I say, oh, just make yourself at home. But I don't really mean that. I mean, make yourself at home in these couple of rooms here.
Yeah.
If somebody says, I'm going to go upstairs to check out the closet in that back bedroom and see what's in there, you'd say, hey, wait a minute, you can't go up there. That, yeah. you know, that's my stuff. You know. So when we say Jesus is Lord of our life, we say, yeah. oh, yeah, you know what? I want him to be Lord of my life, but I just want him to take care of these, you know, three rooms here.
Just a couple things.
I don't want them like saying, hey, what do you got in that closet over there?
Right.
Or, hey, how come there's such a mess over there? I want them to just like sit here on the couch and say, yeah, this is very nice here.
Well, it's interesting you say that we don't want him to look at that mess over there. And the mess that we're, you know, we're afraid of showing him is really what's yeah. inside
that's
of
right.
us.
That's right.
Because
and that's what he wants to clean up.
That's what he wants to clean up. You know, when we got a roof put on our house more than a few years ago, and there was this one corner around the house where the wood didn't fit together anymore. And so they just slapped some shingles on there and it didn't look very good. I came home from work one night and I'm like, what is that?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I called
the next time there was a storm.
Yeah. You know, I called the contractor and, you know, I went up there and looked, and here there was this hole. They didn't even put the shingle up to the flashing.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking at it. I'm like, so I called the contractor. I'm like, you know, what did you guys do here? And they pounded some nails into it. I'm like, this is ridiculous. So I took it apart. And when I started taking it apart with a crowbar, all this dirt and all this debris fell out from behind that wood.
Mm-hmm.
And when I put it back together, after I cleaned out all that stuff, it fit perfectly. It was a moment in time where the Lord was showing me how that's sin in our life.
Yeah.
That sin prevents things from fitting together mm-hmm. with God so that we can really be his disciple.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that was a very powerful example, because I was the one that took that wood apart and put it back together. And when I saw that debris fall over, you know, just fall from it, it was like, Wow, that is a, you know, it's such a simple thing, but it's such a powerful image and witness to what is sin in our life. It's a bunch of debris that just gets in the way.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a very concrete point.
Yeah.
That would make a good parable. That's why Jesus used those kind of things as parables, because everybody can understand that.
The parable of the roof line.
Yeah. I think I've read that. Yeah. Yeah. But you explained it well. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we don't usually, you know, you don't really want to clean the mess up generally yourself. Just put the shingles over it and hope that everything will be okay.
I do have another story, if you indulge me for a second. Our basement, there was heavy rains one year in our basement. There was backup sewer water in our basement.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to scrub it all down and everything. And we had tiles on the floor, just, you know, not ceramic tile, but just vinyl tile. And we had somebody come in and they said, well, you know, why don't you just put carpeting over all this? Because this is going to be really hard to all get up. And I'm thinking, no, I don't want all that mess underneath carpeting.
Yeah.
And it was another example. This happened right around the same period of time, within like a year. So it was another example of the Lord, I think, really showing, like, you can't just cover up things, because they're what's below the surface will always come up, and it will always interfere with our relationship with the Lord.
Yeah. Boy, that's 100% true.
Yeah.
Yeah. You may cover it up for a while, but eventually it's going to come up.
Eventually it's going to start
to
stink.
The carpet can cover that stuff up for a while, but eventually you see a spot and something's coming up through the carpeting.
Like, what is that?
You say, well, it doesn't smell very good either. And so, you know, interestingly too, now that we've gone away from sin and figured that, you know, we'll be in charge of our salvation, we don't care about the mess, because there is no mess. I mean, unless you've murdered somebody, there's no mess.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a human approach to trying to fix our problem.
We don't see the spiritual mess.
Right. That's right. We don't see the spiritual warfare that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I had a experience a few days ago. And I won't mention any names in case she's listening, but there was a...
please don't talk about me.
There was a, no, it was a woman.
Oh, okay.
There was a very nice woman who was a believer, and she came over to my office for a regular appointment. But then, of course, it doesn't usually last very long as we start talking. And she was really seemed to be in distress. And she's been going, she's had some problems with her children, and one of them is on drugs and living in the streets. And, you know, I mean, you can just... I mean, it's heartbreaking when you have a house where there's a Christian family that's trying to do the right thing, and then one of your kids is a drug addict who's living out in the streets. And I mean, it's just heartbreaking stuff. Yeah. And one of the other kids is, you know, messed up in some other way. And so this woman was very – so she got down to, I don't even know anymore if I'm really a believer, because, you know, my mind's been so clouded with all this other stuff.
Yeah.
She goes, I just get these feelings in my head that I'm – going to be lost. I'm not good enough for this. And I say, well, you aren't good enough for this. And neither am I. Nobody's good enough for this. I said, this is the enemy planting doubt, because he's the accuser of the brethren.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, well, I know that, but you know, the way I feel. So I started with, well, you know, Jesus died for you on the cross, and he loves you, and he did this to save you. And while you were still a sinner, he died for you. And, you know, she's crying. And she says, as you're saying that, you know, I feel this good feeling all through my body. And I said, oh, well, that's great. You know, the Holy Spirit's, you know, convicting you and coming back. And she goes, oh, but now I have this feeling like, well, what if what you're telling me is not true? What if I'm, and I go, well, that's the other side telling you their message.
Wow.
And so 45 minutes later, with my office girls going, you're way behind schedule now. And I say, yeah, but this was a really important thing to do.
Yeah.
It was just a powerful moment where, you know, there's dirt that's not really her dirt. You know, she's not the one doing the stuff, but this dirt from her kids' lives is now like piled up on her.
Yeah.
And she's afraid, like, she's putting shingles over that and she's not really going to be saved.
Yeah.
And it gets pretty overwhelming.
I mean, you know, when the enemy attacks, It can be very, it can be devastating.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
When the enemy attacks, I mean, some people don't realize the power that is there,
mm-hmm.
that the enemy really has, and that we don't meet, that we don't take it lightly.
Mm-hmm.
You don't poo-poo the evil one because he tempted even the Son of God.
Yes.
So, there was a priest, Father John Hamps, who talked about when he was in Australia one time. There was this witch doctor that was trying to kill him, and he called upon the name of the Lord. And he said, "This just like this plate of glass just appeared right in front of me, and the guy's fist went right into it.
Wow!
Right before his face. So the power of the power of God is greater than the enemy, but we can't take lightly.
Yeah.
When Satan wants to attack, he attacks. And he can, as Jesus said to Peter, Satan wants to sift you like wheat.
Yeah.
I mean, how wheat is sifted?
Mm-hmm.
It's crushed between these two gigantic stones.
Yeah.
It's pulverized.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what he wants to do to us, because he wants to bring us to the place where we're just going to give up.
Yeah.
Because we're so beaten down. He wants to hit us with the big stick of discouragement.
Mm-hmm.
And, if you're listening and you're in that place, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus and ask him to come and rescue you, because there's power in his name.
Mm-hmm.
There's authority. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to him, as he says. So there's power in his name.
That's right.
And there's freedom in his name. There's deliverance
Amen.
In his name.
Amen. And this is why you have to, and again, I'm going to go back to, you have to have a prayer life. You have to study his word.
Mm-hmm.
You have to worship together with other believers. You can't just be a lone ranger Christian who goes around doing, whatever you feel like out in the open.
Right.
You have to read his word, and you have to have that be the foundation of your life. And you have to have a prayer life. And this is what everything is based on. Paul Wilbur's back. I love this song.
Oh.
Anyway, check out GiftOfGraceMinistries.org. We'll be right back.
The Lamb who was slain, who ascended to heaven and nevermore will reign. At the end of the age, when the earth you reclaim, you will gather the nations before you. And the eyes of all men will be fixed on the Lamb who was crucified. With wisdom and mercy and justice you'll reign at your Father.
Yeah.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. I was telling Stephen during the break, we should do a show just about that song.
Oh, yeah.
That song is so awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was going to get to one last paragraph I have written down here. The apostles didn't preach a feel-good message.
No, they didn't.
They preached a message of salvation and redemption and turning away from your sin.
Mm-hmm.
And it all started with Peter, Pentecost morning, who said, save yourselves from this perverse generation.
Exactly.
Now, he thought they had a perverse generation. Look where we're living. I mean, you talk about perverse generations.
Yeah.
So we have, everybody's talking about new evangelization. You know, we need a new evangelization and a new Pentecost and a new, and those things are true. But the evangelization, new evangelization has to be aimed at the fact that people don't realize where they're living.
Yeah.
That they're living in a perverse generation. And if they don't separate themselves from it, they're going to bear the consequences.
Exactly.
It's not a feel good message. I mean, it is a feel good message in the sense that you're going to be delivered.
Yeah.
But it's not perceived as a feel good message. It's not necessarily a seeker friendly message.
Right.
Because most people aren't seeking. Most people are just living their lives and doing their thing.
Yeah, most people, they want, you know, they want the feel good. Hey, Leo, you know, let's get together and just have a nice little time here and feel good about it. And I got some friends and
yeah,
this is great. It, you know, it's much deeper than that.
Yes.
You know, that's why Jesus, you know, the other thing I was going to say before is about the parable of the talents. When you come to the Lord, in addition to, you know, the parable of the sower, the man at the pool of Bethesda, and the, you know,
I was in Bethesda last weekend.
Were you?
I was Bethesda, Maryland.
Was that where he was at?
I think so. It was right outside of Washington.
Just like that. And the 10 lepers, it's the parable of the talents where God has gifted you and he's equipped you to do something in the kingdom. And you have to find out what that is. You have to ask him what that is. And he demands a return on his investment.
Yes.
You know, and the churches don't want to talk about this today.
There's supposed to be fruit on the fig tree.
There's supposed to be fruit on the fig tree. And if not, it's cut down and thrown into the fire.
Yeah.
And if you give back the Lord one talent that he gave you and you tell him, I was afraid to use it, Lord.
Yeah.
Depart from me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the reality of what's going to happen. But yet in our churches, those messages aren't being preached because they're worried about their congregation size, they're worried about the collection, they're worried about all of that. They're not worried about the person's soul.
Amen. That's true. And the apostles had that firm foundation on the rock.
Yeah.
And when the Spirit fell on them at Pentecost, they went and spread the word through the whole known world, Jews and Gentiles alike.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was, quote, seeker-friendly, but in a very powerful way.
Oh, yeah.
Which you bring up a good point is now the churches have kind of watered it down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Peter says there's no other name under heaven by which we must be saved.
Exactly.
And now how often do you hear that?
Right.
Well, you know, I don't know.
I mean, I hear people going, and we pray this in your name. Whose
name? Yeah.
He has a name, use it, because there's power in it.
That's right.
We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Proclaim it, dude. And, you know,
dude?
It's like, yeah, Jesus, dude or dudette. Dude. Proclaim it. If you believe it, proclaim it.
Yeah.
Don't water down his name too.
Yeah. I mean, Paul, who was my hero, you know, all of them, but you know, Paul, of course, was a little more annoying and irritating than the rest of them. That's why I like him. But you know, they confronted people who didn't believe.
Yeah.
They confronted people who, you know, threatened them or insulted them. And it wasn't necessarily confronting in a bad way, but they stood up for what they believed. They stood up to these people. They weren't concerned about their human comfort, their human situation.
Mm-hmm.
They knew, like you say, they had this gospel to preach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Paul says so many times, you know, I've been chosen as a vessel to the Gentiles.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus says to him, you know, says to others, he's my chosen vessel to the Gentiles. He says to Ananias, who's afraid to go over there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to see Brother Saul, because he doesn't believe, he's a little worried. And, you know, he hears the Lord say, he's my chosen vessel to the Gentiles, so just go over there. And ends up baptizing him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty cool. He went the rest of his life saying, I baptized Paul. It's pretty neat. And, you know, it's that kind of fruit that comes from the investment is extraordinary.
Yeah.
If the fruit that comes from the investment is once in a while you go to church and, you know, say hello to some people, that's not a lot of fruit. If the fruit that comes from the investment is, well, I don't want to talk about Jesus when I'm at the grocery store or at work or outside because, you know, I shouldn't really be doing that.
Yeah.
That's not really much fruit.
No, right.
And you know, your purpose may be to lead, you know, three other people to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That may be the whole purpose in your life.
Yeah.
Sometimes one other person.
And if you don't do that.
Yeah. Like, what else did Ananias do other than go over there and say, Paul, I'm here to cure your blindness and baptize you?
Yeah.
I mean, we don't hear much about him after that. We don't hear anything about him after that.
No, we don't.
But you're right. It's, we got a lot of really nice looking fig trees, you know, beautiful leaves, but no fruit.
But no fruit, yeah.
They're dressed really nice and they know all the right words to say.
Yeah. Very polite, very politically correct.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we even justify, well, I have to have balance in my life. Well, I can't do this because I need to do that. And, you know, well, I have to make some choices and I'm going to choose this because I'm comfortable with it. God calls you out of your comfort zone.
Yes.
God doesn't give you a gift to ignore it. And if you've been given many gifts, then you need to get on it because he's given you those gifts for a reason. Now, when I say get on it, I mean you need to really start developing and cultivating those gifts because he's given you those gifts for a reason, not to sit dormant, but to be used.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't get much done if you just stay in your comfort zone.
No, you don't. You don't get anything done if you stay in your comfort zone. I mean, and people do. They, you know, friends, you know, birds of a feather flock together, all those things. People like to coddle each other so that they don't feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of, there's nothing wrong with feeling comfortable to a point, but, you know, friendships, if your friendships prohibit the movement of the Holy Spirit in your life, you need to reevaluate those friendships.
Absolutely.
You really need to reevaluate that because if my friend does not say, Steve, I think you need to step out of your comfort zone here. You're being a wuss.
Yeah.
You have to challenge. You have to be challenging. You can't just, you know, we think that love means not offending somebody.
Mm-hmm.
No, love means telling them the truth with all your heart.
Ooh, amen. Well, this was a good show.
Yeah.
This was kind of an election show.
Yeah.
Anyway, hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we pray that you would allow God to call you out of your comfort zone, to acknowledge the gifts and talents that he's given you, and by the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, use those gifts and talents for the salvation of souls and the glory of God's kingdom. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
Woo!
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giuliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.